Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a terrific day down here in Florida. It's pretty overcast. I think we got some rain coming in tonight, so it'll cool it back down again. And, yeah, so how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will basically be glad in it. They sprayed us like we were bugs with chemtrails yesterday. Okay. Yeah. And now we're fully overcast, which is, I'm sure they're doing it with nucleides in the air. And so it's interesting. I had a good friend of mine this morning. He works at Southeastern University. He said, Ted, you know, why are they spraying the chemtrails? And I told him, I said, it was multiple factions of stuff. I said, you got the military industrial complex. You got the guys who really believe in geoengineering as far as cooling off the planet. You got guys that are trying to put nano trackers at all of us, and you've got people out there trying to make sure that you don't have exotic propulsion systems coming through the atmosphere. I said, there's all kinds of different reasons. I said, none of them good. I said, all of them bad. And I said, it's just, I mean, we're having a deal with the candidate right now. I had a show scheduled with Sheila Zielinski today at 4. She just texted me and told me the weather's so bad out there with power outages, and they had this huge storm come through there a couple days ago, that they're in and out with intermittent power right now, that we're going to have to reschedule. And I'm like, wow. And so this is the kind of stuff that happens when you do geoengineering and you try to change the hydrological cycle of the planet, because everything goes haywire. It just goes crazy. It's kind of like right now with Donald Trump. Brad Parton sent me a text this morning, and he said that Trump's really trying to do what he can. And I emailed him back, and I said, Trump's a man right now that wishes he wasn't compromised. I believe that. I really do believe that. I really do believe that Trump believes and wishes that he could do what he wanted to do, and now he's found himself. You know, it's kind of like this. Jim Rohn said it so succinctly. He says, you know, if you're 10 miles up on the Niagara River, you know, where Niagara Falls comes down, and you're 10 miles up, and you get basically find yourself with no paddle and no oars, you're probably okay. You can probably use your hands to paddle, you know, all the way to the shore or whatever. You get on the side of the boat and kick it to the side of the river or whatever. You're 10 miles up. It's not a big deal because the water is still pretty slow moving. He says, you're 50 feet away from Niagara Falls, from going over the edge, with no paddle, no motor, no oars. He goes, you better enjoy the ride because you're going over. You see, and this is what Trump, and this is what Trump has found himself in. That there's no way out of this mess that he seems to have gotten himself in with the globalists, with the mafias, with all the different people he's been involved in his whole life, with the building contractors. And this is something, you know, when you get involved in the casino business, Austin, really, it's all mob controlled. We all know that. Oh, yeah. That's something. If you gotta be living under a rock somewhere not to know that. I mean, you go out there to Vegas. I was out there years ago with you and Gene Dawes. You remember Gene? And we were out there one time, and we were looking at these huge Caesar Palace casinos, these monstrous places. And I said, there's a reason they build these giant casinos here. And it's not because they have a lot of payouts. It's everybody comes here and they lose their money because they're addicted to gambling. A lot of folks are, and they lose their homes. They take out second mortgages. They take out home equity lines. They do all kinds of crazy stuff when they get into debt to try to cover themselves after they start losing money. And they keep thinking, I'll have one more try. And pretty soon you have Caesar's Palace being built debt-free. This is the kind of stuff these guys are involved in. It's organized crime. It's racketeering. It's whatever it is. They then run the college sports and the NFL sports. I mean, and they run all of this organized gambling and organized bookmaking and organized rigging of so many different sports all over the world. And so it's just what it is. And once you understand that, then you stay out of the world's greatest casino, like the Dow Jones, which is, again, on another roller coaster ride today. But I have a really interesting article that was written by Stefan Stanford today. And it says, expect another 9/11 style false flag in 2019 to push us into World War III as the globalists revolt against peace. As if anybody else had noticed, there's very strange bedfellows of President Trump's recent announcement of troop withdrawals from Syria and Afghanistan. Now we know we have mercenaries going in both those countries. Now Turkey's also going into Syria. Now Russia just warns Turkey not to go into Syria and let basically the Assad government take back over where the American troops are leaving right now. So now we have Russia heating into this. So we have all of this stuff happening right now that we really don't know how it's going to basically play out for us. I mean, we've got, you know, all these different entertainment industries. You've got ABC, New York Times, the Clinton Machine, the Boston Globe, the Globalist Elites, MSNBC, Special Interest, all of these people. are attacking the GOP. All of them. Even the GOP elites are attacking the GOP. And, you know, and while President Trump, basically friend and confidant Roger Stone, recently told InfoWars that he believes that the deep state will attempt to assassinate President Trump to put an end to peace breaking out around the world, which doesn't seem to be doing that, basically the others have warned the Democrats will continue to hound President Trump and his agenda through 2019 with the impeachment talk on the, continuing on the table. Now, basically, you can't really call them the Democrats anymore. You have to call them the Democrats. That's what they are. They're a bunch of demons running around. And so we have to understand this is going to be an interesting year. So one word that'll really get your attention on this, it's volatility. That's what's going to happen this year. So guys, stay prayed up, stay prepped up, keep your supplements on hand. Make sure you keep supplements in case something happens that you have them available to you. You say, well, why is that so important? Well, because quite frankly, if you're living on dehydrated food, it's not going to have a whole lot of nutrient value to it. And if you don't have any dehydrated food, you're trying to find food, you better get some nutrient balance going back into your diet, into your health. Because guys, it's going to be a major, major year. Because remember, they're not going to stop with this whole thing with Trump's impeachment. That's going to continue on and on and on and on and on. We're never going to hear the end of that. They've been waiting for this to take over Congress. And right now, look at Ebola. We've had another Ebola breakout, and 24 patients, basically, who have Ebola, have now fled the treatment system, sparking emergency search over in Africa. So I don't really talk a lot about Ebola because it's just one of those things. A lot of times they like to run it up as a hype, and a lot of times they use a lot of staged photos. But guys, Ebola is a very, very real thing, hemorrhagic fever. It was developed by our boys at Fort Detrick. I mean, they should be really proud of that one. That's a really good killer. And if they ever wanted to release something like that, they could do it very, very, very easily. So be very, very careful and keep your immune system really, really strong. What do you think, Austin, and what's your next first show?
And adding on to what you said a second ago, you know, I've been telling that to a lot of people because I've had quite a few people call me over the last couple of weeks, especially as the markets got kind of squirrely. You know, all these things are starting to come together. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, always have at least some backup food on hand, whether it's beans and rice, whether it's some of the stored dehydrated food we have, whether it's some MREs, whether it's canned goods from Publix. I don't really care. Have something to back up and also have some stored jugs of water. What we've done here a lot of times, my personal setup is I'll take the distillers and I'll get backup glass jugs that I'll either get online or old apple juice jars, and I'll fill them up with distilled water and then add a little bit of our colloidal silver to them, sterilizes it, keeps the water pretty much indefinite storage, and then put them, you know, in a dark closet or something. At least having a good couple gallons of water per person in your house, because you got to remember, a lot of people try to skimp on this stuff, and they say, hey, you know, well, something happens, I'll just go down to like a half a gallon or a quarter gallon of water a day, and I'll go down, you know, to like 500 calories a day. First off, if you try to do that currently right now while you're not even in some type of conflict and zone, you're not going to function. After about 4 or 5 days at 500 calories, and I'm speaking from my caloric intake, I won't function well anymore, especially when I start getting dehydrated on top of that. So you don't want to start trying to push your numbers down on whether water storage or food storage by saying, well, if this happens, I'll just make it work and I'll just eat less food or drink less water. That's not going to work, because in most cases, if it does go to that, and say we have a power outage or we have some type of huge solar flare and the whole power grid goes down for a week, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, I don't know. Homeland Security's been talking about this for years now, so is the DOD. You know, if something like that happens, more than likely you're going to be doing a whole lot more stuff than you normally do. Also walking around outside, fixing stuff, having to travel to get things, doing all kinds of things you don't normally do. So you're going to be exerting more energy, you're going to be exerting more fluids out of your system, so you're going to need more water and more food. So just take that into account, and then also having a good water filtration system. But there's some weird stuff going on, because right now, I saw earlier, you know, Rubio now, a lot of these guys, if you listen to what these guys say, they prep things. They've done this for years, even back before 9/11, current things that have happened. They always like to kind of throw little hints out there. And I heard Rubio the other day basically saying that Trump has put the U.S. at risk by his decision to withdraw troops from Syria. Which, in reality, that's a totally asinine thing to say, because Syria was never aggressing us. They were not trying to fight us. They were not trying to have a conflict with us. They were trying to live peacefully on their way, away from other things, and deal with their own civil war. And we basically decided we were going to go in there and intervene. They didn't ask for us to come over there, nor did they provoke us. So making comments like that are idiotic at best, and it seems to me as they're almost trying to put this ideology in our heads. Because then when I saw Senator Lindsey Graham, he said the decision to move troops from Afghanistan could be paving the way towards a second 9/11. Whoa. I heard another Republican make a similar comment the other day when they were interviewing him, basically saying that there's a high probability we're going to have another 9/11 now because we're not fighting the ISIS members over there, so it's going to allow them to come here. If that's the case, guys, just take this logic for a second. Take it a step back. Take everything out of it and say, okay, so if we're not actively in Syria right now, in a sovereign country that we're not supposed to be in, that we weren't invited into, to fight a civil war that we don't even have any business being in, if us pulling troops out of that country is going to allow people to come to this country and start doing terrorist attacks over here freely, unmolested on their way, because we have no way to stop them. We have no possible way to figure out they're coming here. We have no intel to figure out they're about to commit some type of terrorist attack. What in the world does that say about our national security, and why in the world are we giving DHS hundreds of billions of dollars a year to supposedly protect us if they can't even figure out that a terrorist plot's about to happen if we don't have thousands of troops in another country halfway around the world? Think about that concept for a second. If you're sitting there saying the only way to prevent a terrorist attack is to have active combat troops in basically combat theater in another country halfway around the world, then why in the world do we continually give our freedom and rights away to Homeland Security and the Department of Defense and the NSA and ATF and the DEA and all these other alphabet agencies that run the government essentially with their black ops? Why do we give them all this control and power if they can't even prevent a terrorist attack from happening unless we have troops in another country full time? Think about that concept for a second. That's something that really needs to be addressed when people like this bring topics up. Because if you're saying that the only way for us to prevent a terrorist attack is to be invading country after country after country and have a military presence in every country, that really, really, really speaks badly about our national security and our ability to monitor things, especially when we have the NSA now that monitors every phone call, every text message, every email, every digital contact that can possibly occur anywhere in the world. The NSA dragnets it and sifts through it. We already know that from Snowden. They don't even try to hide it anymore. I mean, why don't we start asking questions like, hey, why did the ATF send 2,000 machine guns through straw purchases to the Mexican drug cartel and then accidentally lose them 10 years ago under Eric Holder? Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Why don't we start asking that question? Those are things that I would like people to bring up instead of saying, well, if we don't continually invade other countries in the Middle least, we're going to have more terrorist attacks here. Just kind of a pet peeve of mine, Dad, because I've heard a lot of people saying this personally, and I've heard also these Republicans now coming out and saying this. The only other reason that I could see them saying this now is that I said before, is that they're trying to prep us, or they know something we don't know, and something's about to happen, and they're going to use this as a pretext now, an excuse to say, well, listen, Trump pulled troops out of Syria and Afghanistan. That's how ISIS got over here. We're completely inept. We have no idea how to secure our country. So they got over here since we don't have active combat troops over there. That sounds to me like it's more plausible of an excuse of what these guys are doing, but that's just me. But hence why I go back to saying, make sure you got food, make sure you got water, make sure you got filtration systems, and for goodness sakes, make sure you got some weapons and know how to handle them accordingly so you can branch together as a neighborhood or city or county militia and defend your state if the National Guard or if the Army or if the Marines can't defend your areas. Because if we did actually have a true invasion, whether it be from China or some type of other migrant force, whether it be, you know, Muslims from the Middle East, who knows, there's a strong possibility the size of this country, the United States military, is not going to be able to do an adequate job at defending all fronts, especially with the southern border, the western border, and the eastern border, and everything else in between. The manpower isn't there. We're going to have to stand up and defend our country the best we possibly can. And that's why I tell so many people that it is our duty as free Americans to be able to protect ourselves and protect one another's and protect this country if we ever come into the situation where we have to do so, Deb.
excellent comments, Austin. But, you know, we got to stop and think about this for just a second. We know that 9/11 was an inside job. We know the rogue members of our government knew about it in advance. I mean, we've seen the doggone stuff that was released by Snowden and all the other stuff. I mean, we know that they knew about it. They even admit they knew about it. They had heard intel about it. They didn't think it was going to happen. And I personally, this is my own opinion, I personally believe that it was orchestrated by the CIA, Mossad, MI6, other factions of other intelligence agency, working together with high-level government officials, probably George Bush and the vice president, to basically orchestrate this giant thing. And the problem is you have to look at all of the fact that the military was put into a stand-down mode at 9/11. They were doing a drill on 9/11. They had a storm off the eastern coast at 9/11. Some type of energy weapon was used on 9/11, if not nukes and thermite. All of this stuff had to come together. And for the government to sit there and blatantly lie to us and tell us they didn't know what was going to happen is a bunch of crap. They were involved in it. They're the ones who had to order the stand-downs. They're the ones that let all the Saudis and all the doggone Arabs airplanes fly out of the United States like a bunch of fleeing locusts leaving the country. This is what they allowed to have happen. So then we basically get told this dribble by the 9/11 report like we did on the Warren Commission, and we're supposed to believe all this nonsense. If you want some good videos to watch on 9/11, watch 9/11 Mysteries. Great video. That's the one that really woke me up to 9/11. And then watch 9/11 Loose Change. That'll really snap you tight. And just understand that this is what happened to us, and we had this group of people that basically needed us in the Middle East to basically fight their perpetual wars for the international banking cartels, because, like it or not, we're basically the prostitute. There you go. Our military is basically the prostitute for the international bankers. You think, well, that's kind of hard to say. Well, I could say it a lot harsher than that. That's being really G-rated. We're the our military is the prostitutes with our 1,000 military bases for the international banking cartels and the mafiosos that run the international drug smuggling, child trafficking, money smuggling, gold smuggling, organ smuggling, and I'm not talking about pianos and organs. I'm talking about human body part organs that are being sent all over the planet. On our 1,000 military bases, our little lily pad jump spots all over the place. So, I mean, so we've got a major problem right now with organized crime, which runs the world. It controls everything, including the stock market, which we see that as far as the volatility of it. So we can't say that in the event that we basically get out of Syria that we're going to have a 9/11, oh, unless it's already in preparation and planning. Whoa, did I just say that? 9/11 didn't happen just overnight, boys and girls. It took a while to pull that thing off. That was a multi-year protocol. If you watch the book, the most dangerous book in the world, it's on 9/11 as a mass human ritual. You gotta remember, these guys are druids. They're weirdos. They like to do bump in the night. They're weird. I mean, these guys, like, they're like Winston Churchill, who was a druid, who just wanted to just watch the people die in Dresden at the end of the war, just for the fun of it, to have a massive human blood sacrifice. That's what these are the Baal guys. This is the Moloch guys. These are the Ashrapol guys. These are the guys that like to drink blood and do weird stuff. These are the groups that are running the planet. So if they tell you, when now you get Senator Lindsey Graham likes to walk around, you know, in his little, how should I say this, in his little sissified walk carrying his little purse. Yeah, I said that pretty well. If he wants to run out and talk about this, we're going to have a potential 9/11. And remember, all of these guys are hardcore Zionists. Always remember that. So is Rubio, so is Graham. And now Benjamin Netanyahu says they will pick up the slack and continue to attack and do things against Syria without the United States' help. Trump had enough sense, and I have no idea why he's doing this. This is probably why the stock market's crashing, because we're coming out of Syria. He's basically had enough sense to know that if Russia start implementing their S-300 systems and shooting down Israeli jets in Syria, that he didn't want the United States dragged into a global conflict or a world war over this stuff. Or something else. I don't know. But those S-300s are pretty amazing. And if they throw the S-400s in there, nothing's getting past that, like they've already put over in Ukraine now. So all of this stuff, guys, is all coming to some giant festering boil, so to speak, in 2019. Because these guys do not want Donald Trump in the White House in 2020. They don't want him there. And that's why Roger Stone believes that he's going to be assassinated, which I hope that doesn't happen. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. By the way, I talk to you guys all the time And I want to cover something. This is pretty good about self-actualization. This is from the Maslow hierarchy of needs. He was a speculative psychologist, but what he discovered is that very few people ever reach self-actualization. And he gives it. This article is written by a guy by the name of Sinclair, and he says 12 things self-actualized people have in common. And you guys have heard me talk about that a lot, so I'm going to cover these real quick. Number one, they are guided by their goals. You know, Jesus said in the New Testament, I'm not yet reached my goal as far as getting to Jerusalem. We all have to have goals, and we all have to have goals and purposes in our life. As a man thinketh on his heart, so is he. Number two, they do not pretend to be someone they are not. Guys, how many times have you guys heard me say, you know, I am the same way if you meet me in person. My dear friend Terry Flynn was over here the other day. She should be running for president. She's a former prosecutor with the FBI. And she basically told me, a former state attorney's officer. And I told her, I said, you know, every time you see me, I'm always the same as I am on the radio. She goes, you're always the same. See, nobody has to pretend to be something they're not. I've got friends that basically one day they act a certain way, and another way they act another way, depending on who they're associating with that day. I have a friend of mine. I really can't say he's a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in 20 years. He was on the seminar circuit with me. He dealt with real estate. And when he'd get around Christians, he'd be wanting to pray for them and lay hands on them and talking about Jesus. And then when he'd get around his secular friends, it'd be everything was GD this and GD that and F this and F that using filthy language. Finally, I called him out one day. I said, dude, really? I said, what's up with you, bud? I said, why are you one way one day, one way the next day? I said, this isn't cool. See, people that are self-actualized, who know who they are and comfortable in their own skin, so to speak, they don't have to act like that. Number three, they can and do express their emotions freely. That has never been my problem. You guys know it from the show. Okay, number four, they are quite creative in general. Like we are, I'm always figuring out how to fix stuff and repair stuff. And the other day I was telling Austin, we were doing some stuff here at the house, and I said, give me a minute, I'm going to figure out how to fix this. And I did. Number five, they form strong connections with the people around them. That's me and you guys. I love you guys. I got to pray for you again today. I mean, when I tell you guys that your family, you contact me, you send a letter to email, it's the Health Masters, you need us to pray for you, we pray. Most of the time we pray right now, instantaneously, because I've got a relationship with you guys. I realize that this is a reciprocal thing, that you're my friends, I'm your friends, you guys support Health Masters, I support you, and we're all working together as a team. Today I was talking with Doug Hagman, and we were talking about guests and other show hosts and other people, and I can't tell you any names, but I told him, I said, well, the biggest problem that we have is a lack of reciprocity in the Patriot movement. Now, guys, I'm going to repeat myself on that. The biggest problem that we have is a lack of reciprocity in the Patriot movement. Everybody's, you know, basically trying to figure out, you know, trying to get ahead on their own, and they'll do any way they can. They'll start saying bad things about other Patriots. Bad radio show about, you know, like a minute ago. I just told you I knew a guy from a seminar circuit 20 years ago. The guy's retired. He's in his 80s or almost 80 now. I can mention his name. He wouldn't care, but I'm not going to do that. Guys, we need to be building ourselves into a cohesive group. It's like Austin said a few minutes ago. You know, you need to know who your neighbors are. You need to know who's got food, who's got water, who's got guns. And if we need to come together to help the militia, the government, the state government, the state militia to defend the United States against invasions from a foreign power, we need to know who our friends are. We need to be able to build strong connections. Number six, they accept themselves and others. Well, yeah, I'm not perfect. And I told you guys the other day, I said, you know, I realized a long time ago that there is a God and I am not him. I'm going to repeat that because I slurted. There is a God and I am not him. They accept themselves and others. I don't want to try to be something that I'm not. Number seven, they love using problem-solving skills. I do like doing that. Number eight, they see the world as it is. People who aren't self-actualized, they look up at the chemtrails and you give them the literature on it, they go, oh no, they wouldn't do that because they're not going to do that. I don't believe you. I'm going to be immersed in normalcy bias and I'm never going to think for one second that they're going to do anything bad for me. Or you show them a video like 9/11 Mysteries or 9/11 Loose Change, they go, oh no. And I'm like, my response is always this, you know, especially 9/11 Mysteries, they literally interview 100 people in that video. And my response is always this. So you're telling me that these 100 people that are being interviewed, including firefighters, police officers who are there, engineers, structural experts, that they're all lying. They're all lying. Everybody's lying. Everybody's lying because they're trying to get you upset. Oh, yeah, they're all lying. I'm like, well, why would they do it? What's the benefit? They're just trying to point out what really happened. They're telling the true story. Oh, no, no, no. I don't believe it. I don't believe a chemtrail is real. I don't believe the government would do that because they're so steeped and normalcy buy it. Number nine, they tend to be very independent. Hey, have your food and water stored up. Have your supplements stored up. tend to be very independent. Number 10, they enjoy the journey itself, not just the achievements. I told my daughter just a few minutes ago about my 19-year-old son who's making straight A's in college. I said, I'm glad he's making straight A's. I'm happy for him. But college is not just about making straight A's. College is not just about what you do academically. It's about the maturation and social skills that you developed in interacting with a group of people while you're in school or in college or even in high school. And you have to enjoy the journey as you go. You can't get all upset about what's happening around you. You have to learn to stop and, like Mac Davis said in that old song, you have to learn to stop and smell the roses. Guys, if all it is just a get, fight, fight, you know, nag, nag, you know, get everybody mad all the time world that we live in, what's the heck's the point of that? Why do we want to be a Christian? You might as well be a heathen if it's going to be that. Just get all you get and can all you can and keep all you get, all your cans. I mean, it's not like that. We're not called to be like that. So we have to learn to basically stop and enjoy the journey. Number 11, they appreciate their own lives. I am so blessed, and I thank God all day long, that he teaches me and shows me the things that he shows me and gives me the insight. I told him this morning, I was praying this morning, I said, God, I need you. I want you in my life. I want you in every aspect of my life. I can't do it without you. You're my covenant head. You're the one that basically teaches and shows me and directs me through your omnipresence and your omniscience. Because remember, God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he connects you into his dimension. Some people say it's the 13th dimension through the Holy Spirit. And then he shares with you a tiny percent of his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And that omniscience, that all-knowing, is through the Holy Spirit, in which you get a little check. Maybe I shouldn't drive that way today. Maybe I shouldn't get on that plane today. Maybe I shouldn't make that phone call. Maybe that person is somebody I just need to avoid today. And then you find out later, they were either trying to rip you off, or there was an accident on the road the way you were going to go, or that plane didn't make it off the ground, or made it off the ground and didn't make it down safely. I mean, all of these things are being led by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I don't need to go out on a second date with that girl or that guy. Maybe that's just not where I need to go. The Holy Spirit's leading me. Guys, this is what happens when you're in blood covenant with God Almighty, with the maker of heaven and earth, because he's letting you know in advance, there are some things that I want you to do, and there's some things that you probably don't need to do. Not that we could listen, not that we'd have to listen to them, because we don't. We have freedom of will. If you watch that movie, The Devil's Advocate, which I do not recommend that you watch unless it's been heavily edited on TV with all the language and nudity taken out of it, I'm not recommending that movie. But one of the things at the very end that Al Pacino says is that, hey, look, it's the freedom of will that makes it tough for Lucifer when you choose God over him. He doesn't know what to do because you don't have to accept the offer. You don't have to open the door for Satan. You can say, I tell you what, dude, I don't want you in here. You can take your basket of snakes and go down the road with it. Hit the road, Jack. Don't look back. That's the whole thing we've got. That's that freedom of will, and we have to be willing to use it. And number 12, they don't sweat the small stuff. You hear me say every day, while we're getting sprayed with chemtrails, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. Why? Is chemtrail small stuff? No. It doesn't make any difference. What are you going to do about it? You can't go get a surface-to-air missile and start shooting down planes. That's going to not really work out well for anybody. So what are you going to do? Are you going to get yourself into a knot and basically go, oh, my God, go bang your head on the wall? Are you really going to do that? It's not going to help. They're still going to spray us. So what you do, you take your supplements. You take your magnesium brain food so you can chelate the aluminum back out. You make sure you don't get a bunch of aluminum and vaccines and mercury and vaccines and poison yourself with heavy metal toxicity. You do everything you can to fight these clowns and just say, okay, we're just going to go down the road and do the best we can because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. And the Bible says, who by worrying can add a single moment to their lives? Talking about the flowers, the lilies of the field are clothed better than Solomon, and that worry won't change anything. Guys, we don't need to be worried, but we need to be proactive. We need to pray as if it's all up to us, and we need to work. I'm sorry, we need to pray like it's all up to God, and we need to work like it's all up to us, being proactive in everything we do in our life. And when we act and we do things like that, what happens is God's able to send a big, how should I say, a big blessing our way in every area of our life. You find a great spouse, you end up with great kids, you end up with a great job or career that you love, you end up basically having a decent car to drive. And so now you're going, wow, Lord, thanks. I appreciate all this. And guys, that's what he wants for every one of you. God is not a child abuser. He's not like a man that he should be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And if you do what's right with God, he'll take care of you because he's not going to be that guy that, you know, you're really nice to him and all of a sudden he's going to be mean back. And there's, we have all friends. We've all met people. We know people. We have acquaintances. You try to be nice to them, they throw you under the bus. You know, like the other day when somebody posted a doggone ad using filthy language with my picture on it. I mean, I'm still dealing with that. And I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. I mean, I didn't do anything to this person, but why did this person do this to me? You don't know. And it could have been a mistake. It could have been an oversight. It could have been a judgment error. I don't know. But the point is, bad things happen sometimes to good people. So you have to just go on down the road and work through these things. And you need to realize all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us have basically sinned. And so when you start sweating the small stuff, like, oh my gosh, like the other day, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she dropped something on the floor, took a big chip out of the tile. And I just looked at her, I just smiled. It was Christmas Day. I'm like, not going there, not going to sweat small stuff, not going to have a big, huge contest of getting angry here on who's got the most testosterone or the most anger going on with an 84-year-old who didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. Never said a word to her. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Lord knows, someday she'll be gone. 20 years from now, I'll be her age. She'll be gone, and I'll say, wow, see that chip? You know, my mother-in-law did that. Bless her heart. May she rest in peace. It'll be like a remembrance for me now. In German, you'd call it a Denkmal. You think about her when you see it. So I'm not going to get it fixed. That's not sweating the small stuff because it doesn't matter. Now, if your wife comes home and she tells you she totaled the car, you got to be careful with that one because at first you got to make sure she's okay. Make sure the other person's okay. But if it's insured, whatever. It's a piece of tin that can be replaced. You got to be really careful when you drive. And I tell people, just be really careful because there's all kinds of kids running around. And they start running over people. That ain't small stuff. That starts getting real bad real fast. So just think through what you're doing in every area of your life. And I don't want to say try to strive for Maslow because he wasn't a Christian as far as his self-actualization. But try to understand that these things that I've talked about today is something that all of us need to strive for. I know I have in my life. And I just want to share all that with you guys. I thought that was a really good article. What do you think, Austin? And what's your next story?
That's really good info, actually. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff we all have to do to work together, and even more now than ever, because there's so many different things that are pushing all of us against each other on a regular basis now. And this is being primarily done through the media via the globalist control of a lot of it, because they're trying to break everybody up in this country into small little factions that aren't united whatsoever. We've seen this now over the years. And so you have to do everything you can to really help and support one another and do your best to respect one another. Not everybody's going to agree on everything. Not everybody's going to get along with everything. But like Dad said, don't sweat the small stuff. If you got somebody that you know they're a strong patriot or they're a good Christian and they're really trying to do their best to, you know, wake people up and fight the good fight, so to speak, and get people saved. If you don't agree with them on a couple topics or they do something that you don't like or vice versa, just chill out on it. Cut them some slack. Like Dad always told me before, you got to kind of grade stuff on years of how you've been with people. You know, if you've been friends with somebody for 5 years and every single year has been an A or a B, and then 1 year you got a year that's like a C or a D, is that worth flagging the whole relationship and throwing it down the toilet and saying, hey, don't ever speak to me again. I want nothing to do with you. I know we've had 4 years of almost straight A's, but this year sucked. Basically, I don't want to talk to you anymore. A, that's not a Christian thing to do, and B, that's not something that really is conducive to furthering the unification of the Christian patriots in the United States. We had that happen this year to Lana and I, some friends that we know. She's been friends with them for almost 25 years, and we had a big disagreement about a certain event, and I wanted to get it resolved, and I wanted to get basically it rectified and kind of address what was going on, and her friend wouldn't speak to me. Her husband basically wouldn't talk to me. They ignored me. They wouldn't return phone calls, and I continued to go out of my way to try to just fix the problem. I said, listen, I'm not going to stop with this. You know, you guys have been friends with us for almost 20 years. We got to resolve this, and finally they came back and basically said, you know, we don't want to associate with you anymore. We don't want to be friends with you anymore, and I said, okay, don't let the door hit you in the butt. Goodbye. I will not bother you again. You don't have to tell me twice. If you really don't want to be my friend, you're going to be that brazen with me and you're willing to blow off a 20-year relationship over one petty argument, you know, that's on you. I've done my absolute best for months on end to try to go out of my way to be humble and resolve the issue in a diplomatic Christian fashion. And if that's not good enough for you and that's enough for you to basically grenade a 20-year relationship, That's on you, not me. And so that's what you have to do. If there's an issue, you got to try to resolve it. Be the bigger person. Even if you got to swallow your pride and swallow your ego and apologize and say, hey, I've apologized if I've offended you in any way. That was not my intent. I don't even know what I've done, but if we could talk about it, I'd love to get it resolved and fix it. And you continue to do that and continue to do that and continue to do that until a point in time if they tell you, don't contact me, I don't want to talk to you anymore. At that point in time, you got to kind of respect their wishes and don't associate with them anymore and understand it's probably best that you don't anyways if they are that hot-headed and they don't want to resolve a conflict that's petty. Just my two cents on it. Also, too, in other news with health, this is a really cool article that came out of Natural Health 365. The title is Promising Evidence, How to Reduce the Threat of Pesticides and Roundup Toxicity. We've talked repeatedly about trying to stay away from Roundup, eating non-GMO, eating organic, don't get exposed to this stuff. We've long warned of the exposure to glyphosate, which is Roundup, and it's linked to numerous chronic diseases, whether it be cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all kinds of stuff, and all the data, all the research that shows that glyphosate does threaten your defense system, and one of the primary reasons, one of the main things it does to the body is it decreases the levels of glutathione, which is one of the body's main antioxidants. Well, a new research now has come out now has reported that high doses of vitamin C, again, here's vitamin C to the rescue, when given in sufficient quantities can help reverse glutathione depletion and actually partially protect you against the dangers of glyphosate. Now, I'm not saying this article so you can go out and eat garbage and just eat GMOs all you want. What I'm saying is we know we're getting contaminated with some of this stuff, even when we eat organic. We know a lot of this stuff has got exposure to it. So here it goes into detail how the study published in the Scientific Journal of Environmental Toxicity and Pharmacology, researchers investigated the effect of glyphosate exposure on the antioxidant system and evaluated the ability of antioxidant vitamins such as vitamin C and E to mitigate the damage. The team concluded that glyphosate, the main ingredient in Roundup, posed a huge health risk to humans, inducing significant changes in cellular antioxidant status by depleting glutathione. The researchers reported that supplementation with vitamin C and vitamin E increased significant levels of glutathione and also, too, thereby reduced oxidative damage in the keratin-producing cells of the epidermis, is what they studied on. The team concluded that vitamin C and vitamin E have significant preventative effects on cell damage caused by glyphosate. So I thought that was really cool, and it goes on to hear in detail about the old work from Dr. Klinner, which we've talked about before. He was a huge proponent of high-dosage intravenous vitamin C and oral vitamin C. He had 27 different medical papers. And he always talked about the dosage of vitamin C. We have these idiot standard dietary guidelines that they put on these bottles now. Basically, we're supposed to have like 250 milligrams of vitamin C or whatever, 120 milligrams of vitamin C a day is our recommended dietary dosage. Well, nobody bothers to tell you that's the minimum dosage you need every day to prevent scurvy. There's no health properties to that. It's basically enough to prevent from coming down with debilitating diseases from a lack of vitamin C. So what we've also found is when you start having buffered vitamin C and plant-based vitamin C, you can take higher doses of it orally. Our Excellent C, our vitamin C called Excellent C, you know, it's in 750 milligram capsules, and it's buffered, and it's designed to be able to take increasingly higher doses of it throughout the day and not have as much gastric disturbance on the body. And of course, if you can throw in the intravenous vitamin C, it goes on to have even more beneficial effects of it. But I thought that was an interesting article, Dad, because a lot of people ask all the time, well, I know I'm trying to eat clean, I'm trying to stay away from this, I'm trying to eat organic, but what happens when I've still been exposed to it? Well, this is kind of your answer here. Vitamin C and vitamin E, they're saying usually around 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is a lot. That's a lot every day, can greatly reduce your the negative effects of glyphosate, and the same thing with vitamin E, somewhere upwards of around 1,500 to 2,000 IUs a day. So that's a dosage that probably with the vitamin C, you're not going to take every day, because that's a lot. But even in general, I take a couple thousand milligrams every single day just from a health standpoint, and I still take about 2,000 IUs of the vitamin E every day from a blood viscosity standpoint as well. So you want to know how to reduce some of the exposure to glyphosate and some of the negative effects? Vitamin C and vitamin E, Dan.
Vitamin C, I noted this with a spray, with the chemtrails. And if I'm not careful with my vitamin C intake, I start getting lung issues. my lungs start getting kind of congested. And if I get that, the only thing that gets rid of it is vitamin C. So I've started taking about 7,500 milligrams a day. Now, that's five in the morning and five at night of our buffered ascorbate C. Because our C is buffered ascorbate, it doesn't cause a lot of diarrhea. So 7,500. Now, if you ease it up to 10,000, 15,000 milligrams a day, you're going to start getting diarrhea from it, but it doesn't do that at 7,500. And so I take five in the morning and five at night, and it really, really keeps my immune system frosty and it keeps my lungs healthy. And I've learned before when I've gotten lung infections, I can't shake it without vitamin C. I'll either have to go get a vitamin C IV intravenously, which is like 50,000 milligrams in one day, but that's really expensive now. That's about our doctor that did that was he died, and so now the price has gone up. It's probably around $125, $150 every time you get it done. Another place in Lakeland is $175. So you buy a lot of bottles of vitamin C for $175. And so that's what I've learned. I just take it more and more every single day, and it keeps me healthy. Plus, vitamin C does a lot of other things. It's one of the principal components of the collagen, which is the cellular glue. People are always asking me and Sharon, why do you guys look so young? I mean, you're 63, Ted. Sharon's 61. She'll be soon 62. Actually, in about 2 weeks, she'll be 62. Why do you guys look so young? My response is, it's the internal health and the vitamin C. The vitamin C slows down cellular turnover because it maintains collagen formations. What that means is the cells don't wear out as fast, so you don't have as many turnovers. So you don't have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have 100 copies of cells. That's all you're ever going to get. All right. It's like making 100 photocopies and changing them, not using the master every time, making a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. The cell starts getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and it doesn't reproduce as well as it gets older because of telomere shortening. And when that happens, is you get weaker copies. And so you get aging. Your skin starts to sag. You start getting wrinkles. You start getting droopy skin. All of this stuff is almost always caused by vitamin C. And so if you take high enough levels of vitamin C, it really doesn't happen because your body's amount, the copies that you make it, instead of making a copy, let's say you live 100 years. Let's do it on the average. And let's say you do 100 copies in 100 years. Well, by the last time you're to the last 20 copies, you're looking pretty rough. Well, if you make that 100 copies last and you're only at 20 or 30 copies at 50 or 60, you're looking a lot younger than you're supposed to look. Why? Because the cells didn't turn over like they did. And so now you may live to be 120 or 130, depending upon how long the globalists want us to live and what they put into the environment. But the reality is this. You can really slow down the aging process. You can't stop it, but you can massively slow it down through vitamin C and through essential fats like cod liver oil, borage oil, cod liver oil, all those are coconut oil. All those are so important. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor of a mega church. He goes on a 21-day fast every year, and he contacted me this week, and he said, what should I be on? Because he doesn't mind drinking shakes, but he doesn't want to chew anything. And so he comes to the right place at Health Masters, and I always tell him, I say, well, here's what you need to do, and we got to keep the essential fats up, we got to keep the vitamin C up, we got to make sure that you keep enough stuff in your body to stay healthy for those 21 days, and he will, and he'll feel great, and he'll probably lose, 10 pounds or whatever, because I've had him on a high enough caloric intake, I don't want to start losing lean muscle mass. You start dieting and dropping your calories down to 400 or 500 calories a day for an extended period of time, you're going to massively eat into your lean muscle mass. Then your skin's going to really start sagging because the muscles help to hold the skin up, and you're going to lose a lot of strength, and you're going to lose the ability of your spine to maintain its composure and its posture because you're going to start losing muscles from the erector spinae and the lower stabilizer groups. So you've got to be really careful as you get older not to get on some ridiculously low intake of caloric calories because you're trying to lose weight all the time. Just eat clean and you'll maintain your ideal body weight. You maintain a lot of strength and maintain really lean muscle. And you can do things like, if you want to curl 100 pounds, 8 times when you're 62 years old, like I did a few months ago. And I'm not saying that I do that all the time because I don't. But what I will do in the gym, also was with me 2 days ago working out. I grabbed 100 pounds. I think it was 100 still on there, maybe 75. I got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 reps with it again. And because I just try to do that every couple of months just to maintain that strength and that muscle and those ligaments and those tendons. Because, guys, one of the biggest things you don't want to do is have a sedentary lifestyle when you get older. In other words, you don't want to sit around all day long and not do anything and just atrophy. You can't do that. You got to stay strong. I mean, let me ask you a question. If something happened real quick right now, and we had an EMP, and you had to walk 10 miles or 15 miles or 20 miles, or you had to physically get out in the yard and work again, could you do it if you're in your 50s or 60s? A lot of people can't, Austin. Or could you survive long-term without medication that had to be refrigerated, like insulin? A lot of people are going to be dead within the first 30 days because their insulin is going to get hot and go bad. I mean, see, people don't understand. You've got to do everything you possibly can while you're healthy, just in case something happens, to maintain your health during that. By the way, scientists are also concluding that pertussis, whooping cough, vaccine causes permanent brain damage. You know, this stuff with the vaccines just keeps getting better and better and better. During a three-day workshop, scientists have finally agreed that the toxins within the B. pertussis bacterium, which cause whooping cough and are in the pertussis vaccine, can cause a spectrum of permanent brain damage ranging from learning disabilities to severe retardation and seizure disorders, according to the UCLA professor of pediatrics and neurology, John Menkes, M-E-N-K-E-S, MD, who coordinated the workshop. It was the consensus of the opinion of the neurological complications of disease and vaccination are in part caused by the interaction of the pertussis toxin and the endotoxin present in the B. pertussis bacteria. I mean, DPT convulsions are due to the effects of the toxins. It goes on to say, scientists from America and abroad attend these meetings every single year, and they understand the truth about how toxic vaccines are. The problem is, if you say this kind of stuff and you post it to your Pinterest account, who, by the way, they don't mind if they post pornography to this Pinterest stuff, that if you put it on your Pinterest account and say that these toxins, these vaccines could cause permanent brain damage, we're suspending your account. We're taking down your Pinterest account because you're putting stuff out, scientific information out that basically can't be substantiated. Nonsense. We can prove everything we say. It's just that some people don't have ears to hear. See, I know it's like my friend who has the son, who's got the baby, who's got three shots the first hour. My friend's like just absolutely livid this has happened, doesn't know what to do. Not everybody has ears to hear or eyes to see. I mean, not everybody's going to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not everybody's going to eat clean. Not everybody's going to be convicted about what they do and think and say about their lives. They're not going to care. And so we have to understand that you can't force someone to do something they don't want to do, because you want them to do it. It doesn't work that way. You have to try to educate them. And also, it was so good on the show yesterday about how he gradually brings people in to learning about different things, including vaccines, and not try to force-feed them the information. That's why I said, if you're trying to wake somebody up with 9/11, don't come into the whole mess. Just have them watch 9/11 Mysteries. Say, hey, watch this for me, or 9/11 Loose Change. You want some more information, I'll send it to you. And see if they contact you back. If they contact you back and say, you're nuts, I don't want to ever hear that again. Or next time you call them, they avoid you, don't want to talk to you again. You know they haven't watched it. You know they're not interested, and they don't want to talk to you about it. And that's okay. Just step away and say, God bless you. I pray that you continue to do well in your life and walk away. Why? Can't change everybody, guys. Remember, Bible says that light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And they don't want to know. They don't want to know. Or the word says that he would turn and heal them. Guys, a lot of people are so caught up in know-it-all gear that they're never going to listen to anything you say. They're certainly not going to listen to this kind of show. They're not going to listen to any of this, because it's going to really stretch them out. They don't want to believe any of this stuff. And so that's the whole key. You got to find people that are going to be like-minded. And that's what Austin was talking about earlier, especially in your neighborhood, in the event something bad happens, Austin. What do you think about that pertussis thing causing permanent brain damage and all of the research being done on that now?
It's troubling, man. It's troubling that it's continually happened. It's troubling that we're seeing people still accepting this stuff. See, if we came together, even just say 10% of the population, say 30 million people, came out and said, we're not vaccinating at all until you provide us clean, verified, third-party lab-tested vaccines that aren't contaminated, that don't have aborted fetal kidney cells in them, that don't have aluminum, that don't have mercury, that don't have polyasorbate 80, but don't have numerous adjuvants that have been known to be neurotoxins, that are known neurotoxins. We're not going to vaccinate our kids at all anymore. If people started coming up and bringing their voice, and that's what I've learned now over the years, is you don't have to come in and say, I'm 100% anti-vaccine. I don't ever believe a vaccine should ever be used under any circumstance whatsoever for the rest of mankind. Now, you're dealing in absolutes. When you come off with absolutes, people always get offended. Someplace, sometimes, somebody's going to get offended when you start making absolutes. So you have to be careful what you say. I'm not completely against vaccinations. I'm against toxic, adjuvant-laden, aluminum-contaminated, aborted fetal cell tissue-injected vaccinations. That's what I'm against. If they came out with a legitimate vaccine for a very serious disease that was very, very life-threatening and very, very contagious, and they said, hey, this third-party lab test, it's verified. We've got all the ingredients listed right here, all the spectrometer results right here. It's completely clean and pure. We've tested it. It works. It's effective. Okay. I would probably not be against that. I would say, okay, I'm interested in that. If it's something that's serious and it's going to work. So you got to remember too, the only reason vaccinations really need to be brought about is for a disease or something, whatever it be, whatever is contracted, it needs to be highly contagious and highly deadly. Meaning it kills you really easy and it's super easy to contract. If it doesn't fit those two requirements, there's really not a purpose for it. Going out now and injecting children with chickenpox vaccination, that is clearly and totally for the only reason to make more money. The chickenpox has been around for hundreds of years. Not that big of a deal to get it. Most kids don't have an issue with it. You get itchy, you get bumps, you get an oatmeal bath, you're done after a couple days, you're good to go. Same thing with a lot with pertussis stuff. The amount of children that are dying and having horrific side effects from the pertussis vaccination compared to the kids that actually are dying from pertussis itself are astronomical as far as the comparison. So many kids are coming down with all types of health issues, autoimmune issues, cognitive disorder issues, autism, death, all these health problems from the vaccinations. That's why we're seeing an autism rate that's going up at the same exact direction on the curve graph as the vaccine rates continue to go up. They're going up together simultaneously. The more vaccines we're injecting in the kids, the faster the autism rate's climbing. To what now in New Jersey, that was one in what, 28 or 26 boys?
One in 32. Here's the thing. I mean, think about that for a second. One in 32 children now have autism in New Jersey. And it's going to get higher and higher. And pretty soon, Stephanie Sineff from MIT says, if it doesn't change, it's going to be one in two. And within 5 to 10 years. Then by like 2035, it's going to be, you know, like all children are going to have autism because of the exponential growth curve. You think all kids are going to have autism? Well, how in the world will these kids be taken care of when they get older? Ah, there you go. Then you have the medical complex that's going to basically say how unbelievably important it is to take care of these kids and how many millions of dollars it's going to cost per child. And the parents are going to become victims at that point because the parents are no longer going to be say basically to the kids, you know, they're not going to have any quality of life. And then when their parents die, what are you going to do with all these kids? I want to read a scripture to you today. This is interesting. And I got a kick out of this scripture yesterday because I saw Sharon has a couple of donkeys up in North Carolina, which she says she misses, which I thought was interesting. So I was talking to her about Balaam's donkey in Numbers 22:21-39. And I'm reading you this because a lot of people miss the forest for the trees. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went to the Moabite officials. God was angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding at his donkey, and his two servants went with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord that was invisible to Balaam standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. He turned off the road and into a field, and Balaam beat the animal back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord, this is the reason I'm doing this, you get the metaphor in a second. When the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards and the walls on both sides, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord again. He said he pressed close to the wall and he crushed Balaam's foot. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in the narrow place where he was no room to turn, either right or left. And the donkey saw the angel again and it laid down. And this time he was angry and he beat it with a staff. And then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. This is so funny. And the donkey started talking, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me three times?" And Balaam answered the donkey, "Listen to this. You have made a fool out of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." Now stop for a second. We got to stop. And the donkey then says to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? And I have ever been in the habit of doing this to you?" He goes, "No." Now think, stop for a second. Now, Balaam sees the Lord, the angel of the Lord at that point, and he understands what's going on. But think through this with me for a second. The donkey starts talking to Balaam, and the Balaam threatens to kill the donkey. "If I had a sword right now, I'd kill you, you talky donkey," you know? Now, here's the thing. Now, if I was riding a horse or a donkey and it started talking to me, I'd probably think, number one, this has to be some kind of Holy Ghost intervention for this donkey to talk. That's number one. And number two, I'd be thinking, Boy, am I going to make a lot of money on this donkey. I've got to talk to donkey. First thing out of my mouth is not, I'm going to kill you, donkey, okay? This is the response that people give you when you show them the chemtrails or you talk to them about the vaccines. And you show them over and over and over again what it does and what it does and what they want to do. They don't want to look at the facts. They want to attack the donkey. See, you guys didn't think I could segue that. They want to attack the donkey. They want to attack the messenger. They want to attack the reason. They try to find a reason to not do what they need to do, including killing the talking donkey. Guys, this is why it's so important that you have people that are friends of yours that they don't want to listen to you or whatever. I mean, you know them, right? I got friends who don't want to listen to me. You got a perfect opportunity. Tell them to listen to the Ted Dawson Brower Show. And they're going to basically hear all of this stuff, and they're going to either listen to it or they're not going to listen to us, or send them something to read. But guys, the whole thing about it is, if the donkey talks to you, you need to listen. You got to say something other than, if I had a sword, I'm going to kill you. Okay? So, guys, thank you for listening. I guess me and Austin, I guess we're the kind of the donkeys, I guess, sometimes. So thank you so much for listening to us and being part of our family. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, we're working on something new right now. I've had some requests for it over the last couple months, and I've started to work on it. If you guys want to email me and let me know any of your inputs, if you prefer it, if you'd like it, AutoShip, the ability to basically put your order on AutoShip, where it'll automatically charge your card once a month and ship you whatever products that you have added to your AutoShip cart. It's not been something personally that I've ever really used that much. Don't really know that much about it. I have kind of started looking into it and working on some things because I've gotten a lot of requests for it. So if you want, email me in the contact form on Health Masters. You can just type in the word contact in the search bar at the top, and when the contact form comes up, you can click on it and fill it out. I may not respond to everybody on it. I just may read through them depending on how many responses I get. But I just wanted to kind of get your take on if it's something you care about. It's going to take a lot of work, but it's something that I would definitely wouldn't mind doing for you if that's something you guys want. So just let me know on it. I appreciate all the feedback and the support. Be sure to check out the product of the week on sale right now, which is the Magnesium Brain Food. Huge seller, big product, awesome product. That's one that I use every single day. On sale for 20% off right now as product of the week. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. Also, too, the Total Rest and the Sleep Like a Baby Kit really helps you put in a relaxed mood. That's going to be on sale for pretty much through this weekend, and then it'll be going back to regular price. So if you guys wanted to get it, now's the time to grab a can of it. Anything else, be sure to check out the website. We're going to be changing a lot of sales up over the weekend going into January, adding some new kits and some new products. So be sure to check that out and continue to vote for your product of the week. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for the feedback and the support on everything you guys keep doing for us. I really like it. We do this for you guys. So, I mean, when you give us feedback, when you tell us what you like, if you've noticed, I've always tried to implement it the best I can if it's physically possible. So I thank you guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. I think I'm going to be co-hosting with Joe tonight on the Hagman Report. They just called me up a little bit ago, so I'm going to get ready for that. And you guys just have a blast. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.